Welcome to the Tag Republic podcast, a weekly chat with Carolina Guzik about all things marketing. Some episodes are short tips that you can implement in your business right away, while others are in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Whether you're a new photographer searching for some knowledge or an established professional with years of experience, Carolina offers fresh and innovative advice that can help you transform your photography business.
This episode is sponsored by The Art of Pinning, a self-paced Pinterest class for wedding and lifestyle photographers. If you are having a hard time driving traffic into your website, or SEO is overwhelming you, or the people that are visiting your website are not the kind of visitors, aka they're not converting into clients, then this class is for you. You can find more information at www.thetalkrepublic.com/Pinterest, or just follow the link in the notes. Now, enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Talk Republic. I'm Carolina Guzik, your host, and today, all the way from North Carolina, did I say it right?
Virginia, a little bit further north, yeah. You're so close, though.
So close, all the way from Virginia. We have David Abel. We met years ago at a mastermind, and it is so, so lovely to catch up and to see where you are now, where you are today. How much have you grown in the past 5-6 years? I mean, your business, not you. I think that you have been the same height since I met you.
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure, but we're happy to be here. I'm so excited. It's good to see you again, see your face. I feel like long ago, we used to have the video calls where we're going to go back and forth and help each other out. So it's good to see you again.
Good old times. So I'm so happy to be having this conversation with you today. So let's start right at the beginning. Please introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Awesome. Yeah. So my name is David Abel. I'm an international wedding photographer. I mostly serve couples on the East Coast and in Europe, but we go all over. So we're also starting to get into editorial content. So shooting for brands and fashion campaigns and editorial stuff like that. So yeah, that's us in a nutshell.
Oh, I love this. How straight to the point. Maybe she would say that you have a gigantic love for Italy and all things Italian.
My wife and I always joke, is like, where's that thing from? And we'll look and it's like, it's from Italy. We're like, of course it is. It's the best.
Like, I absolutely love it. Is there a connection of like, why do you love Italy so much? Or just because they're so fantastic?
Oh, yes, they are definitely fantastic. So Christy has a side of her that is Italian. So she has that heritage. I unfortunately do not. But we did honeymoon in Italy when we were young and spry, and we spent like a week there, and we traveled way more than we should. We were on our feet way more than we should have been for like a honeymoon, but we loved every minute of it. We got to see so much of the countryside, and we instantly fell in love with the food and the people and the culture and the fashion, and like every element of Italy was just so amazing. So every time we get the chance to go back, we're just like chomping at the bit. I'm like, let's do it. Let's just buy a villa already and move over there.
Please do that and invite me. So I went to Rome like a decade ago, and I have to say that maybe the situation, you know, of like what happened during traveling and all that, but like I wasn't a fan. I was like, okay, Italy, thank you. Never again. But my husband is really, really into Italy. So last year, he's like, okay, let's go to Florence. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have like no expectations. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to like this. Oh my God, I loved it. Loved it. Like, I was like, I can come back here anytime. I thought everything was fantastic. Like, what a different city compared to Rome. I love it. Love it. So like now I'm back into like the loving Italy train.
Yeah, I mean, Italy is so vast. There's so many different parts of it, and they all have their unique types of culture that they have. So Florence is going to be very different than Rome, which is going to be very different than Milan, which is going to be very different than Amalfi Coast. It's like the different parts of the United States. So every part's a little bit different, unique, and has its own flavor. And It's kind of cool.
Well, clearly I love Tuscany, so I would definitely go back there. So today we're going to talk about portfolio building and curation. I think that as photographers, those are things that perhaps we struggle with. I think especially curation. So I wanted to talk to you because you have done a lot of since I met you, right? Like when I met you, you were already like established photographer in Virginia. And I remember that you wanted to jump into like more destination weddings, more European weddings, a lot of like elegant flair. I remember that's what I remember you for. And now to see that on your website, on your Instagram stories, on your portfolio, I'm like, oh my God, let's talk about this. So let's start with a very simple question that maybe it's not really simple, but I think it's really important. How does a photographer make a strong first impression?
Yeah, this is a good question. So I think whether it's your Instagram or your website or even like how you present yourself, you have to show up in a way that makes sense for you serving the type of client that you want to serve. So you have to start showing that you can perform at that level. Mm-hmm. You have to start showing that you shoot the type of work that these people want. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means if you're trying to shoot a luxury wedding, you have to start building luxury content into your website. If you want to shoot destination weddings, you have to start building destination content into your website and Instagram. Mm-hmm. If you want to work with really high-end planners, you need to start showing up in a way that makes sense for them to hire you, because essentially they're going out on a limb to trust you to do great work for their client.
So we can say that that's obviously about our work, but this is an audio podcast. People can see what I'm seeing, but I'm going to describe this. So right now I'm just wearing a t-shirt. I have a messy background, not the best. David is like in this beautiful lit room. Everything looks perfect. He's wearing a blazer with a poker square. Like, you are looking very luxurious right now, I might say. Is also that very important for first impressions?
I feel like it is. I think you always want to look your best. Mm-hmm. I think first impressions, they make a big difference. So always put your best foot forward. I think you need to have like a standard of presentation, standard of care for yourself and what you show other people.
Absolutely. So, okay. So back to like actually our work and not the way that we're looking, especially since I should have, have at least a ring light here. creating those images. And as you mentioned, right, if you want to shoot luxury clients, well, show luxury work. That in paper sounds really pragmatic, right? Really easy. If this is what you want, this is what you need to do. But it is like a catch 22. How am I gonna get to those clients if right now I don't have that kind of work? Is the chicken of the egg? What's happening first? How do I get there?
Yeah, I think it's you have to do it incrementally. Mm-hmm. So for us, one of the turning points in my career is I took a workshop with Laura Gordon, who is an amazing artist and a pretty good friend. And she taught me a little bit about like shooting for editorial, shooting for the type of work that she did. But also I had the opportunity to work with a stylist there who had access to designer gowns, who put together like a luxurious tablescape, who curated a shoot for us, all the attendees, so that we could create something for our portfolios. And that really helped move the needle for me, because when I got back from that shoot was in Bordeaux. And when mm-hmm. I got back, I made connections with a few planners, which eventually led to my first $10,000 wedding. Mm.
Before we started recording this, I was telling David, I was like, listen, I don't like style shoots. That's not my thing. I have said this on the website, on the podcast many, many times. And you actually told me you don't like style shoots either. And what you like is editorials. Yes. So let's break this down. What is the difference? Let's get to it. What's the difference between a style shoot and an editorial shoot? Is it not the same? Are you giving me fancy words here, David, to confuse me?
Yes. I mean, at the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm just going to call things that I'm just going to call things an editorial versus a styled shoe because it does sound fancier. And then as I started like going through this process and like working more and trying to build my portfolio, I realized there was a huge difference. So yes, not a huge fan of styled shoots. The reason being is styled shoots, everyone's just coming together and bringing whatever they want photographed. To be photographed. So there's a florist who's like, I think I'll do this. There's a stationer who's like, oh, I think I'll do this. There's someone who's getting a dress, any dress, whatever dress you can find. So there's going to be someone to model. It might be a real model. It might be somebody who's like a friend of a friend, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like a different level. With editorials, there's one person in charge. There's one person making the design decisions who's curating the entire look of the shoot, from florals to stationery to wardrobe, hair and makeup, like going in great details, like this is the look that we want, this is what we're going for, and they're working with each person individually to make sure that they're going to produce something like that for the shoot. There's a huge difference.
So we could say that style shoots might be like the entry level and editorial is like the full pro approach to creating content that, you know, that is going to benefit you at the end of the day.
I think so. Yeah. I think if you're just starting out, style shoots are a great way for you to figure out what's your style. How do you need to practice? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? It's great for you to like figure things out when you're first starting out. But as you get like 2, 3, 5 years into business, I don't think they're very beneficial. I think you need to go a more curated approach.
All right. So let's put myself in the shoes of somebody that wants to, let's say Carolina Guzik. I am at a level of photography that I'm comfortable. I'm working with great clients, but maybe I want to explore destination weddings. Maybe that's something that I want to do. Maybe I want to get a little bit into castles. You know, that's what I want. So you would recommend that for me, obviously, because I don't have that on my website right now. I have beautiful weddings, but not one castle in there. That'd be like, hey, Carolina, maybe a style, an editorial in, I don't know, the UK, some fancy castle in Germany might be the kind of things that you need to like get you started.
Yeah, so you definitely want to start thinking about how can you incorporate that type of imagery into your work, into your Instagram. When you go, you don't want to just shoot for your portfolio. You also want to do like behind the scenes videos of you working in these locations. Mm-hmm. You want to think about like content creation as showing you that you work here and the type of work that you produce there. So you can reuse these things a few times on the website and your Instagram and other areas that you advertise.
Is it important to mention that this is an editorial shoot and not to try to pass this as like, oh, look at the wedding that I shot in this castle?
Yeah, I think you do definitely walk a fine line because you don't want to be deceitful. Mm-hmm. So for me, for Instagram, I always list everyone credited and I'll say like editorial host, if there was one. I'll list all the people involved. I'll also label it as editorial on the website so people know that it was an editorial. I think for me, it's just most important to show that we can work in these locations, what it would look like if someone were to hire us to shoot in these locations so they would understand the type of work that they would receive.
One of the questions or maybe the pushback that I see most within the wedding industry, and again, we're not going to call these style shoots, but, you know, for the sake of this argument, is like a lot of planners or, you know, even photographers, they say like, well, once you do a style shoot, it's not the same as doing a wedding. On an editorial, you have 6-7 hours to style somebody. Talking about, you know, these more really, really style shoots, you have a stylish, right? You have professional models that know how to work their bodies. They know which angles they have. So obviously you can create all these stellar images. What happens when you get into like an actual wedding and you only have 30 minutes? Maybe you have a bride that feels real or a groom that feels really, really uneasy in front of the camera. How could we move the teachings that we learn at an editorial into real life experience?
Yeah. I definitely understand this pushback because weddings are not editorials. Mm. Editorials are controlled environments. You have way more time to create things. The models do understand how to move, how to react. They even kind of train you sometimes. Mm. But my theory with editorials is, there's this quote. It was, you don't rise to the level of your creativity, you fall to the level of your training, right? So think of editorials as a way to train yourself. Like, what do you need to do to get these type of images? Are you going to try that on the wedding day with only 10 minutes? Or are you going to try it in a controlled environment to do something new? And if you fail, you failed in the controlled environment, you have other photos. But if you succeed, you're like, okay, this is what I can do. I can incorporate this on the wedding day somehow. When it comes to the wedding day, you have 30 minutes. What do you know is going to work? And if you only have a small bag of tricks versus practicing things at editorials, you have much greater knowledge of what you can do, what is possible, and then you can bring that to the wedding day.
I love this. Like training day instead of like actual exactly. competition day.
Yeah, think of like professional athletes. They don't just play during the game. They play every single day. They train hard and they train specifically to learn new things. So if you think about editorials, like I'm going to do an editorial so I can learn to shoot in really dark environments in a castle in Europe. Are you trained for that?
Not right now, I'll tell you this much.
Yeah, so it's like you need to practice, especially if you're like shooting film, because you're going to be on a tripod then. Mm. So like you have to think through these things.
I love that. Well, people, now you know it. Maybe we should start loving some editorials. I, you know, even though I have a lot of pushback, and I love that you mentioned the different things between a style shoot and an editorial. Like right now in my mind, I'm like, oh, I think that I would like this. And the reason why is because, as you mentioned, is like, I might not have right now those clients, or I don't even know if I will, you know, really enjoy those clients, but at least it's an opportunity for me to see if I would like it before committing to it.
Yeah.
Right. I can go and be like, oh,
toe in the water.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know what? I thought I would love this, but maybe not for me. But at least, you know, I went, I had an experience, I learned something new. And as you mentioned, we're always learning. So even if I think that, oh, that's definitely not for me, there's going to be something that I learned from that experience that I can carry on into my business.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, let's say, so we take all these beautiful photos, right? Now we come back home, we're excited, but now we have to curate. Not every single photo we take, even if it's an editorial shoot, is going to be good for business. Mm-hmm. And as photographers, I think that we have a hard time understanding that line, because we can be like, oh my God. Well, let's talk about really like weddings. We say like, oh my God, this couple was so amazing. I loved it so much. And let's say this chair was so special to them because it belonged to their great grandmother. Okay, but that means nothing to somebody that is just browsing your website right now. So how could we do a better job curating images to sell our services?
Yeah, so I think when you're curating your website, you need to think about it through viewing it through your client's eyes. Mm-hmm. And your client is the bride, yes, but your client is also the planner, like the planner for like the high-end wedding. So thinking about your website for planners and brides, but more so planners, for me anyways, because the planners are going to be bringing us the brides. So we think about our website through those facets. One, it has to show emotion, connection. Two, it has to show that we photograph details and other vendors' work really well. And when we think about curation, we want to think about showing as little as possible. Think about showing like 15 images on a gallery for a wedding. Can you do that? Your 15 best, because 15 will go really, really far if you work them, versus showing 100, because you might have some subpar images in there. And then if you have 15 amazing images and 100 images, which some are subpar, you're going to be viewed as a subpar photographer.
Because what does a subpar photographer mean?
Well, just like a photographer who's not showing their best work. I'm trying to like find a better way to say this. It's just
not like a master of the craft, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It's just when you're thinking about showing the work, you really want to focus on showing your best, because mm-hmm. you're going to be perceived as someone who's not as good as they are if you're not showing your best work. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
It makes sense, but I do still think that we have a hard time understanding what is the best. Mm-hmm. And again, and I think that as photographers is because we are really emotionally attached to those photos. Mm-hmm. How could we train ourselves? Or maybe do we need to hire somebody to like curate our own work? What do we do?
I think having someone else take a look at it on your website, someone you trust, like maybe another artist that you trust or planner that you trust, and say, hey, can you take a look at this gallery? Can you take a look at this website? Are there any photos that you think aren't that great, or photos that you think are really good that you think we should keep or discard? I'll do that with friends of mine, and I'll say, hey, can you take a look at this gallery? And they'll be like, you need to lose 10% of these images, or hey, can you take a look at this blog post? And they'll be like, lose this one is great, make this one like your header image. So like we'll give each other advice. So definitely finding like your crew to bounce ideas off of and talk to and work through some of the issues that you have will definitely help. And then when it comes to the types of images that you want, it's multifaceted, because one, you have to think about the types of images that planners and brides will love. Mm-hmm. But two, you also have to think about the style and type of artist and type of imagery that you want to create as well. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be just creating something that everyone else is showing. You want to be creating something that's different and unique and interesting, and something that's that you're passionate about as well. So tying it into both what planners and brides want, like your specific bride. I don't know if you've done like archetypes or like diving into like who your bride is, but like you have that image in your head. It's like, what would that person connect with? And the type of work that you love to create, and just trying to find a marriage or a balance between those two.
Yeah, I have done that work. And I think that I am, have done a lot of like internal work to like, I'm able to curate easily. But now that you're mentioning it, I can see my work right now, and my website is curated 100% for couples. My website is not curated for planners, because right now I'm really, even though I have beautiful details on my galleries that I send to my couples, if you go to like my portfolio, there is no one single detail. Maybe I need to change that now that I'm trying to enter a different market.
Yeah, something to consider. Maybe ask some of the people that you're hoping to work with, like, what do you look for when you're looking for, or when you're looking at a photographer as a potential photographer for your client?
Those are good questions to ask. Now I have to, I mean, since I am in this like shift moment in my own business, I think that all this is very useful, because I would say 99% of my weddings have a planner. Like, it never occurred to me that was something that they were looking at. But that obviously makes sense, right? They want to make sure that they have, even though, and I'm going to rephrase this. When I photograph a wedding, there is plenty of details. Like, I make sure that everybody gets photographed. Florists, right. You know, the stationery, everything gets pictures. And I share those images. Now I just have to curate that on my website, just in case a planner that has never worked with me goes and check it out, and then she or he can be like, oh, look at that, we like that Carolina does also beautiful details. That's
and important your, to them. And your Instagram too, I would say, because I'd say like 99% of the time planners are going to check you out on Instagram first, and then if you pass that test, they're going to check you out on the website. And then if
you pass that test, makes sense. Getting the planners, because I think on the Instagram I try to do a good job about showing details. Like every 9 photos, like, you know, I have like my pillars. Like, I want to showcase an engagement. I want to showcase a beautiful couple. I want to showcase some beautiful details. Rinse, wash, repeat. So maybe that's what I'm getting. You know, connections. So very interesting.
Yeah. And there's also, I would say, there's also a difference between whether or not the bride reaches out to you, whether or not the planner reaches out to you. Mm-hmm. If you want to get to the point, I feel, if you want to get to the point where the planner is reaching out to you first on behalf of the client, then you need to like start tailoring your copy and your imagery and all of that towards the planner specifically. I think that helps a lot, because we'll do weddings sometimes where it's like we don't even speak to the couple until like the day of the wedding, because it's like that level of planner, that level of execution, because the planner is trying to create such a really great experience for the couple that they want complete control. Exactly.
Yeah. Me personally, I mean, I'm at this cross point where I'm like, is that what I want? I don't know. But always good food for thought if somebody's listening to this episode and they really want to really enter that super luxury market, when it's like really the couple is really so busy that that's what they hire a planner. They want to, you know, this is your job. See you at the wedding day. You do the best for us and that's it, kind of a thing.
And I mean, most planners aren't like that specifically. Most planners are very open to like you speaking with the couple if you need to. I think they're just trying to protect their clients' time and the experience. And personally, that is the type of crew or like group of professionals that I want to be working with, because they're executing on such a high level that every step of the process for the client is just like the Yellow Brick Road. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's perfection, yeah. So for example, when you are curating an image for Instagram, what would be kind of, I mean, sorry to put you on the spot here because we weren't going to talk about this, but since you mentioned it now, like I want to dive a little bit deeper. What's the difference in copy, let's say, for a planner than it is for a couple? If you can give us like a little example, what would, I need a lot of like visuals. what would this be like?
So more so our Instagram is tailored for couples. Mm-hmm. Our website has more copy for like us, to couples and planners. Mm-hmm. Our copy on Instagram is more tailored towards couples than it's the planners. When we're thinking about curating images, we're just trying to show work that is unique. Mm-hmm. We're trying to show that we can photograph a beautiful tented wedding or a beautiful ballroom or like a historic location in a way that will make the people involved look good. It's probably something that you already do, but just making sure that you're varying the images so that it's not just all couples or all fashion, but you're also showing like the tablescapes and the elements that go into the tablescape and any of the other details that were involved on the wedding day that were like showstoppers.
Got it. So a quick tip for all of you, if you're not doing it right now, you can do now collaborations on Instagram. And those are the posts that do best for me. Like, for example, today I posted, they were all just details of this beautiful night outdoor wedding. And the, you know, the florist is, you know, tagged. I mean, invited to collaborate, the planner and all that. And once they accept that invitation, you show on their feed. So now you're accessing their audience, which I think is really fantastic. So make sure that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, we do like once every three, we do that, I think, like three or four.
Like a good collaboration on Instagram is always good.
We always invite. Not everyone accepts, but you know, it's up to them.
Yeah, I have no problem if they don't accept. I'm just extending the invitation, and I've been really, really lucky that the majority of people accept. I also say, like, if they don't accept, don't take it personal. Like, I get invited all the time into collaborations, and I never accept just because I have a history that I have planned for my feed. So it's nothing personal. It's just like, I like a lot of control, but some people, they don't care, and they, you know, accept, and that's good too.
Yeah, I think everyone has like a idea of what they want their feed, their grid to look like. So
awesome. David, since we talk about editorial so much, I know you have been a part of some of them. Are some editorials happening this year that you can tell us about?
I don't know when this will be released, but we've just finishing talking with a location this year, and we're actually going to be doing a retreat. So multiple day shoots, multiple fashion, beautiful tablescapes, multiple models. We have a really good idea for like the last shoot. All of it's still in planning, so I don't want to say too much, but if you go to our education page on our website, which is just davidable.co/education, it'll have all the information once it's released.
And is this going to be an international retreat?
No, this one will be in Virginia.
Nice. Okay.
It'll be at a location that has the look and feel of an international location.
So really good for people that want to travel, but they don't feel maybe comfortable leaving the country, or they can't based or to, maybe, you know, time.
Or airfare is cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. This is a great option.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to add a link to that on the notes. And I want to really thank you for like giving me some clarity in between style shoots and editorials. Maybe this was the turning point I needed in my life. And maybe now I'm going to be loving this. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, give it a shot. If you still don't like it, no worries. But if not, it's a great way to practice. It's a great way to build new skills and build in the type of work that you want, like that your heart wants to create, which I think is important.
Look at, if this isn't a master class on copyright, I don't even know what it is, because we went from style shoots and I'm like, no, thank you, to editorials. And I'm like, absolutely, I want to do them now. So guys, your wording is very important. Look, like I got converted here. In an episode. David, what is something that you're currently loving? Doesn't have to be editorial or even photography related.
Oh, yeah. So my wife and I just got back from our like little business retreat that we started doing last year. And we are starting to really refine our process for the client path. So like from when they inquire all the way to when we give them their final images, gallery, you know, and every step in between, we're really starting to like dive deep into like, how can we make this like one of the best experiences that they have on their wedding day or throughout the wedding process. And it's coming together really well. We're really excited because we're not just doing like emails, but we're also doing like welcome gifts and working on our paper goods and our deliverables and like the things that they get and kind of filling the experience with surprise and delight so that every step is just one that's just magical.
That's something that I really need to learn, because gifting is not my love language. I don't care about gifts, but again, it's not about me, it's about my clients. Like, so that's something that I'm gonna have to like do some work, I would say.
Well, I think I heard somewhere where it's like the gift is to help the client with buyer's remorse. Because if you think about it, they are spending a lot on a luxury product that they won't receive for like a year. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, I spent this much money. Did I just make a huge mistake? And then they get something in the mail. It's like, hey, we're so excited to work with you. It's like, okay, everything's going to be good. This is going to be a good experience. I made the right decision. So if you think about it from that perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense.
It does. Now, I'm devil's advocate here. You have to give a good gift, because then if they have a little bit of like doubt and like, oh my God, this is a lot of money, and they get a crappy gift, then for sure they're going to regret the decision that they made. Right? Yeah.
Yes and no. I feel like you can give a simple gift, but it has to be executed very well.
Okay. So do you have any samples? I mean, or any examples that you can tell us of like what is a good gift in David's eyes?
So I think it doesn't matter so much what you give, but how you give it.
Okay.
So if you have like, think about like going to like, what do you... like those farm stands, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And you go to one and like everything is packaged up really nice and everything looks really good when you go up to buy, versus one that everything is kind of thrown out on the table. Mm-hmm. Like the presentation matters a lot. The product might be the exact same thing, but like how it's presented and how you're communicated with while you're going through the process makes a huge difference. Think about hotels, a luxury hotel, and like a average hotel. They both have beds, but like how you're talked to, how you enter the hotel, like how you like the interactions that you have and the scenery, it's all going to be a little bit different.
Got it. So also an exercise on like go visit luxury places before, you know, if this is what you want to get into. You don't have to buy anything, but you can walk into, you know, a Chanel store and just take a stroll and see how you're being treated compared to, I don't know, Zara. I don't know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually one of the exercises that we did like a long time ago. We went to New York, and we went to Fifth Avenue, and we just walked inside the stores, and we had a notebook, and we just took notes on how they talked to us, how they spoke to us, what they offered us, what they were wearing, how they held themselves. And then we went like back the next day, and we found that when we went back, some of the people were like, "Oh, hey, Christy, hey, David, they
They
remember
remember
you by
you.
name." Like these things matter. They're small, but they make a huge difference.
Well, there you go. You taught us a lot of things today. We covered like a little topics about luxury clients that I think I wasn't expecting. And so thank you so much for sharing.
Of
Where
course.
could people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, so really easy. We tried to make it simple for everyone. It's just davidable.co for the website, for the Instagram, for just about everything on social media as well.
Awesome. I'll make sure to.
Yeah, so it's .co, not .com.
Awesome. I'll make sure to add links to your Instagram and your website. So if you're listening to this podcast, go check it out because maybe editorials is something that now just like me, you find out that you probably like them. I don't know. Go check them out and you know get a better idea of what they entail.
Yeah. And come say hi. If you get a chance, just pop in, just say hello. We're always
That's
happy.
also good. Yeah, say hi too. Say hi and connect. You know, you never know. You never know. David, it was so great having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time, for your knowledge. As always, it is a pleasure talking to you. And get me always very excited about being stylish.
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun. Let me know if we can do it again sometime.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And for all of you that listen all the way to the end, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to share this with your friends. Slide into my DMs. We can have a healthy conversation about style shoots versus editorials. I'm here for it. Alrighty, guys, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Until then, ciao!
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. For more info about marketing tips for photographers and show notes, please visit thetogrepublic.com. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Want even more? Join our marketing community group. Just search for the Tog Republic group on Facebook. Until next week.